I speak to you in the name of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. The readings today are quite wonderful and quite important, and sometimes we don't know quite what to make of them. I want to start by looking first at the collect, which pulls it all together. Almighty God, you search us and know us. May we rely on you in strength and rest on you in weakness, now and in all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go back in time to first in Jeremiah the prophet. I imagine most of you here have gone out to the backdoor coffee shop where they roast coffee beans and make it into coffee. And as you stood there making your order, you might have seen the potter potting and seen the wheel turning and her making some pottery. Most of you have, right? If you went back to the time of Jeremiah, the potter's wheel back then was very different than today. The potter's wheel then was most like, if you can imagine, a cart axle with two wheels, and on the bottom, the potter would sit and turn the potting wheel with his feet on that bottom wheel, and on the top wheel would throw the clay and make the pot. It was very unstable and it wobbled around, and so all that human effort it took to make a pot, and oftentimes the pot would collapse and the potter would push it all, mush it down, and start again. You can picture it. Jeremiah is saying, this is God. This is God is the potter and we are the clay. And that we oftentimes, because we're not perfect enough, we get mushed down. And today we understand that is the God within us, that we have to put our old life behind us and start again with a new life. That maybe we had formed a pot, but that pot wasn't perfect. And we review our lives and start again with God inspiring us in a new journey. And we've all had revelations in our lives where we change and dramatic things happen. Most notably, it happens between the ages of 18 and 26. And I can remember, and you can remember, looking at life differently than your parents and maybe challenging them. And hopeful, if you knew your Bible well, that they weren't particularly literalists. Because it says in Leviticus, if you speak against your parents, you're to be killed. Well, I spoke against them, and I'm glad my dad was not a literalist. I'm still here. But that whole time of being inspired to see things in a new way. And we move ahead to Philemon. And Paul sending a letter to Philemon about Onesimus, the slave who had been ran away and then was coming back to Philemon. Now, we may not think this is big, but you have to understand that in the culture, a slave was your property, and if a slave ran away and you got that slave back, you are to kill that slave. You must kill that slave. They don't come back to work with you. It's not like getting fired from Telus, having a reconciliation and going back to work for Telus. No, you are dead. And so what Paul is doing is actually interceding with Philemon to commute the death sentence. We often don't get that when we read Philemon. But it's Paul saying, I'm against the death penalty. I am wanting you to commute this death sentence and allow Onesimus as a Christian turn against the culture that you have, Philemon, and allow Onesimus to live. If you are a Christian, you have a different set of rules and values than the world's views and values that surround you. That's very powerful. I mean, we don't have that issue in this country right now. There's always the odd voice saying, oh, I wish we had it. But basically, we are not there. We are a civilized country. But we know countries around us who still hold and maintain the death penalty. And they claim Christianity at the same time. I've often wondered if they've ever really read Philemon. Then we come to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, if you follow me, you turn your back on the culture that you come from. And you embrace the Christian culture. The culture of hope, reconciliation, and love. It's not easy to do that. But don't get affected by the culture you're in. I often think about it in terms of, I like to do a little bit of cooking. And I don't know how many of you have ever made a stew. But the stew the first day is pretty distinct. You know what the carrot is. You know what the parsnip is. You know all the bits of it. But after about the fifth day, if it lasts that long, it gets tougher to tell. It tastes better, but it gets tougher to tell one piece from another. We live in the stew of life. And sometimes we get lost about who we are and what our values are because of the midst of the environment we are living in. And Jesus is calling us to say, you are Christian and you must always remember your values. We must always remember our values and hold them and uphold them and not allow the world to take away who we are as followers of the resurrected Christ. And sometimes it won't be easy. Sometimes it won't be easy. And this whole series of readings from Luke have been all about saying, Luke is telling us, sharing us Jesus' teaching that we are to follow Jesus. Put Jesus at the center of our life and follow him. And turn our backs to all those cultural and economic influences which tend to come at us and oftentimes bend us, break us, color us. It's a challenge. It really is. And all of us, to some degree, fail from time to time. I know I do. I can't speak for you. But I know that I have from time to time. Because we get so consumed in what is obviously in front of us. If you follow the Myers-Briggs topology, sometime I'll give a sermon about this, but there's this part of us that is not a part of our normal everyday personality, but it's always riding behind us. And sometimes we can be triggered in to letting that unknown shadow bit of us take us over. It's called being in the grip. And we can get in the grip of this shadow side of us. And then we can do or say things that when we look at it later saying, was that me? In the grip. But sometimes we get in the grip because of those subtle cultural things that are around us. And we forget our commitment to follow Jesus Christ. And so in the scripture today, in the gospel, Jesus is reminding of this and calls us to turn our backs on the cultural influences that are not of God, that are in our midst. And sometimes that's really tough. I know myself, I sometimes feel inadequate, not quite good enough. And in those moments of weakness and self-doubt, I may want to gravitate towards stuff that maybe the advertiser or somebody has said, if you do this, it'll be make you better, you know? And I've had times of, you know, my my this or my that, if only it was better. I would feel better. And of course, that's stupid. But we can turn our backs to the values of Jesus Christ. The values of love, of sharing and giving, of inclusion, the value of forgiving, and the value of being always hopeful, not allowing ourselves to slide into fear. Because with the sliding into fear comes loneliness and emptiness. And those who've ever had to fight an addiction, whatever the addiction might be, loneliness, fearfulness, emptiness are all triggers for depression and cycling back into the cycle of addiction. But Jesus calls us to not slide there. Jesus calls us to hold Jesus and Jesus' values at the center of ourselves, and to live our lives in hope and in love. This weekend is the time of turning. Labor Day. We are moving from the summer. We're moving into the fall. Soon we'll see colors on the trees changing rapidly. Soon we're going to see, in a couple of days, kids going back to school. You've got to be conscious of the school zones. All kinds of things are changing. It's a time of movement and change. I know when I lived in Ottawa, I lived in a little development and had a swimming pool. In August, it was a scorcher in Ottawa. Those of you who have lived there know that Ottawa can be really hot and sticky. And you almost had to live in the pool when you weren't working or sort of trying to suck in cool air next to your air conditioner. But come Labor Day, man, you had to put on a sweater and you didn't even want to look at the pool. It was a moment of change. It was dramatic. Well, this is a time of change. But in this time of turning, I invite us to also turn away from the seductiveness of the life and values around us and turn to Jesus and turn our backs to what's around us that often pushes into roadways that we don't want to go. And so today, as we've received the sacrament, I invite us to realize the real presence of Jesus within us, to celebrate that, to celebrate that we are the people of love and inclusion and hope, and to move forward as the people of God, knowing that we are redeemed, that we are lovable, and that we are loved. May God bless us all. Amen.